everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. It's been a very big week for us in watching a lot of Talent League matches, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, once again, as always, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Rail-Smith. Jonty, big week for us. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, went out to Bendigo on Sunday and watched the triple header and saw some really high-quality footy and some players who really put their names on the map with some statement performances after. We both also watched some girls' footy out at Shepley on a beautiful night between Dandenong and Oakley. Oakley getting up in that one, but we'll speak a bit more about it soon. It was a big weekend of footy for us, and I also got to watch Oakley on Saturday. So, yeah, really enjoyed it.
It was a long week, but a big week, especially for the boys. All teams played. We'll start with the tipping results. I think it would be a regular start to the podcast. We'll do this. I think it's the gap is no closer than it was last week. I had a better week in the boys. So I'm ahead 27-23 in the boys, but you had a much better week in the girls and you're ahead 19-11, which brings the total to 42-38 in all way. So it's still close.
Yep.
So good tipping comp, but not a lot of games this week. We've only got three for the girls and one for the boys, and that's the one for the boys, which we'll discuss later. I don't think we'll have a 50-50 prediction, so we'll talk about that later. But let's move straight into it. Friday night, we're at the Shepley Oval. I think you were saying that it's the first time the girls have played there in 2 years.
3 years, I think. There. I think only four Stingrays girls have actually played a home game at Shepley Oval, which is where they train. So, yeah, good opportunity for them.
Yeah, well, it was a lovely oval, been there a couple of times, but it was Dandenong who started really well, and it looked like they were going to, I wouldn't say cruise, but they definitely had the early dominance, and they kept in the second quarter. They got out to a 14-0 start, and those two goals in the first quarter were the only goals they kicked, surprisingly. They kicked 6 points, and I think inaccuracy really killed their chances of killing off the game in general. Oakley just stuck with it, and you know, generally around the huddles at the quarter breaks, they believed in themselves. It was clear that they weren't playing the way they wanted to. And when they did play that way, they turned it on. Jonty, give me a bit of a Dandenong perspective. Ali Simmons, I know, impressed you, but talk a bit more about her game. Sophie Butterworth also hit the scoreboard as well, and tell me a bit more from the Dandenong perspective, who played well.
Yeah, well, Ali Simons is one who backed up a strong performance last week against Gippsland, where she really put her name on the map, and she's gone out and done it again against Oakley. So really was the dominant ruck on the day. She's a bottom major. She not only wins hitouts, but was willing to take possession four or five times from the ruck contest and has real burst through the middle. She's probably undersized to be a ruck at the next level, so it's really important she's showing traits in other areas of the ground, and she did that on Friday night as well, taking a really big mark in defence that caught some people's eyes and just has those traits that you think will lend themselves to the next level. A really exciting prospect for someone that's still got more than a year left in the Talent League system. You mentioned Sophie Butterworth, her probably inability to sort of finish off after looking really dangerous throughout the night, just couldn't quite take the marks of balls she got her hand to, and that sort of thing was probably emblematic of the fact that Dandenong weren't able to finish off. She was probably a part of that, and still a promising performance from her, and shows she's not too far away from tearing a game apart. Talia Sanger, I know we spoke throughout the night, Nathan, about her ability to get into good positions and just know how to find the footy, which is not always an easy thing for wingers to do, to remain involved and not sort of get lost by holding their spread and that sort of thing. Really impressed with her game. And Ruby Murdoch, a Vic country listed player, also played an important role in the night, but ultimately they were outclassed for more than not after quarter time, Nate. From an Oakley perspective, I think Sarah Pousty is one who went well the previous week against Sandy and was able to back it up at Shepley.
Yeah, Sarah Pousty, Laura Housegger, probably the two mids that stood out the most, and they were struggling early on, obviously, with Dandenong's pressure. Their offensive transition was really, really challenging, Oakley, but those two stood out. Sarah Pousty, 22 touches in the end, which is a really strong performance. Her second half was extremely impressive, and it really did turn the game for Oakley when it really never seemed like they were able to get that transition moving on. Really just quick running through the middle, and it led to those handball chains. And actually, I'll put this out there as well. I think I said to you, this was probably the highest quality game of girls footy I've ever seen. And this beats AFLW level as well. What I saw on Friday night was just a great vision of how far the development has come.
Yeah.
And we've seen sort of with girls' footy can be very contested, a lot of balls up, ball ups, a lot of stoppages. This 100%. Was very free-flowing a lot of the time. And it was terrific to watch. And Hausegger as well, terrific. Just great defensive pressure as well. You can get mid sometimes that will run forward and try create that transition, but when the turnover comes, you won't see them run back as much, giving great transition and on both ends of the ground. Maggie Marnie, Sienna Calaridi were two we sort of spotted during the game that were performing well at times. And Jacinta Baxter was one for me that I thought had great second efforts and follow-ups and really good composure to break a lot of contested areas on the ground. But she's a bottom major, so the one to keep a watch out for. So that sums up that game, a terrific game to watch. And we copped a bit of stick on Instagram, actually, from someone about Oakley that we haven't backed them in our tips. But, look, we hadn't seen a lot. And we did say that we do rate Oakley. But we thought, I personally thought Dandenong would do it with a home advantage, and it did seem like that way. But there's respect on Oakley's name. They have definitely shown what they're capable of, and that's a pretty good statement win as well, I would say. That's, you know, taking Dandenong in Dandenong Friday night, drew a good crowd. So a great win for them. The next game of the round, probably the biggest talking point in terms of result we did but didn't expect, was Eastern. They got over the line 13-17-95, defeating Tassie 3-2-20, a 75-point win, which is astounding, really. We know what we're expecting of Eastern, but, well, we saw Tassie the week before at Arden Street. We didn't expect that result to go down. I'll quickly touch, we weren't able to watch this game, but from Tasmania, obviously not a strong day for them, but Candice Bell and Mackenzie Ford, too, that impressed. From Easter perspective, Georgia Stubbs is one that Ash was really, really, really wanted to talk about. She was great defensively, wins her one-on-ones, and that she's one to really watch that is prospering at the moment. A great defensive effort from the likes of Ava Campbell, Grace Bubba, and Georgia Knight, 4 goals. We spoke to her in the practice match, so there's a video on her that will come out eventually. She was a great little spark of energy to watch on that ground in that practice game. Laura Stone continues to be really dominant in the midfield, and Stacia Stevenson, really quick improvement in a quick amount of time, and that's showing on the field as well at the moment for Eastern. So that wraps up that game. Western Jets and the Calder Cannons. One we unfortunately didn't get too much from Jonty, but the Calder Cannons got up 4-8-32 to the Western Jets 2-3-15.
Yeah.
I'll touch on Calder quickly. The main ones, Kaylee Kavanagh, 30 touches, 9 tackles, really been impressive. That's a really dominant in terms of players who have had a great first month to show what they're capable of. Terrific. And Kyla Forbes with 3 goals. Quickly touch on Western, Jonty, who impressed on the Western perspective.
Yeah, well, I think you talk about Kaylee Kavanagh, who played the conditions well from a Calder perspective. And I think the same can probably be said for Sierra Greaves, 35 touches and 16 tackles. That stats line, you know, stats don't usually tell the full story, but that's a really telling stats line in terms of her ability to find the ball but also follow up defensively. And also worth noting that Christy Lee Western Turner was kept quiet, so she'll be looking to bounce back against Northern this week, who have got some defenders who will thrive on the challenge of playing against her, speaking to the people within Northern, but we'll wait until we get to our tips or we get to speak about Northern for that one. The next game is actually Northern beating Sandringham 5-4-34 to 4-5-29. Nathan, I'll let you sort of touch on Sandy first, and I'll speak on some Knights who stood up when the game was on the line and impressed. But from a Sandy perspective, who is it that was able to finish off the first month well?
Yeah, well, some bad news out of that game. The coach, Martha Cantwell, actually, and apparently some Northern officials as well, came out with COVID, which isn't great. So
that's not good.
So not some good news, but I did get the top couple of players off Martha who she thought played well. Georgia Four, and this was her last game for the Dragons. Now she'll be heading back to VFLW for the Southern States. Yep. She had a really impressive first month. I've said before, thought she was unlucky last draft, but she's definitely been impressing. 19 touches, 16 kicks, 7 rebound 50s, And she's just that main one on the half back line that really sets up the transition down the ground. Shaden Aylin, probably her breakout game for the month, or so breakout game, but just a game where she's impressed and put herself on the map a bit. 23 touches, 5 rebound 50s, 2 inside 50s, so great on both ends of the field. Mia Zielinski came back from from ankle surgery, her first game back, 2 goals on return off 5 touches, so pretty impactful per possession. Sophie Mackay, also her first game. That is the sister of Abby Mackay, who plays for Carlton's AFLW side. 11 touches, 6 tackles and 4 inside 50s. So she's one that has definitely been impressive in the preseason, a great midfielder. And then Ruby Dale, sort of rotating mid and a ruck and forward, 1 goal and 13 touches. So, you know, she's starting to show that impact on her height in the forward line at the very least. So that was from the Dragons' perspective. So that is our girls' review. Very short week. We're going to leave our tips till the end
just to sort of touch on Northern as well. If I could just.
Oh, sorry. I started first there.
Yeah, yes, no, go with that's Northern, all good. Northern. Just to touch on a few Northern players. Yeah, Ava Jordan was one throughout the game who stood up and is really showing why she is one who is among that sort of Vic Metro mix and is being talked about to go to the next level. She's got 31 disposals and spent the predominant part of the game in the midfield. There is the desire to get her going forward as the year goes on and allow her to develop her forward craft, but I think she's shown her ball-winning ability in this game. Wingers Holly Ridewood and Zoe Hargraves set up really well and were really important in Northern sort of late in the game, being able to lock it inside forward 50 and not allowing Sandy to get that scoring opportunity towards the end to steal the game. They both had intercept possessions at important stages, and Paige Graham was another one who impressed. She played on Alicia Pisano last week. We know Alicia Pisano kicked 6 goals, but she was given the job and only kicked 2 goals on her, did Pisano, when she's one who does continue to impress in defence from a Northern perspective. But yeah, Nate, if you want to proceed with our girls' tips now, we've got 3 games.
That... Well, I was going to say we'll leave our tips all the way till the end and do them all in one thing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because we've only got 4 to do, which is odd. But I'll actually just thinking I'll read the ladder out because we do have a good sense now with the ladder. We didn't really bother reading it out for the first couple of weeks because you don't really have a good gauge at that point. But Calder sit top of the ladder. Oakley, Eastern and Tassie all on 12 points. Tassie's the only team who's played 4 games. The other 3 are unbeaten. So 3 teams to watch, and Calder and Oakley, it's actually first v second this weekend, which we'll touch on later. So cracking game, 2 undefeated teams. Further down, we've got Rebels, Northern, Dandy, Nonsense in the mid part, and we've still got Sandy, Western, Murray and Gippy who are searching for their first win. So we've got a good variety of teams who are across the ladder. So we're getting to know some teams better now and seeing what they're capable of, but definitely still a very competitive league from what we've seen. So we'll move now to the boys. It's a full week. So a full week of boys' games. We're going to swiftly go past the ones we didn't see as much of, because we obviously did see a lot of footy on the Sunday that we have a lot more from. But this is one you were at, Jonty. Oakley beat the Swans Academy 12-15, 87 to 49-33. Tell me a bit from what you saw from that game. You've noted here, normal suspects doing well. Tell me a bit more about Oakley's impressive players on the day.
Yeah, and I'll let you know about how well they played. I think I put on Twitter that they were clearly the standouts. And when I say normal suspects, they're the 2006 borns, they're the bottom ages, Tom Gross, Jagger Smith and Finn O'Sullivan through the midfield, just way too classy. Their ability to get out of traffic and dispose of it purposefully going forward all day. They would have had 90 plus possessions between them, I would assume, without sort of memorising the stats. But outside of them, it was really good to see Will Elliott back for his first game of the season. He was a really highly regarded draft prospect last year. He didn't probably get to show his wares as much as he would have liked due to injury. Coming off that injury, he started deep forward, and that's where he spent the majority of the day. He did take the ruck contests inside 50. But it was a good return match for him. He'll be better for the run and was able to get his hands to a few balls inside 50, even if he wasn't able to always clunk them. He was creating a contest. Ben Hill was one who was good in defence, and Will Amott up forward was one who was getting up and creating a contest up forward. I suppose we don't usually touch on the academies, but worth noting that Indy Kirk was one that is generating a lot of hype from Sydney supporters, obviously the son of Swans great Brett Kirk, and you could see why he was one that against the Tide was probably really strong for the Swans Academy. And Caleb May, their ruckman, was one who's got a bit of size about him and has some likeable traits, so it'll be interesting to see if he's able to come on. Whether he's at that point of getting drafted yet, he's probably not, but we know that clubs do like to take punts on ruckman and develop them within the AFL system. So he's one just worth keeping an eye on. And I know he went well the previous week as well, did Caleb May. So, yeah, that was the takeouts of that game. Breeze through Sandy and GWS. Sandy also had an academy team. They won 15-8, 108 to GWS's 8-3-51. It was a day out for a fair few of them, but it was good to see Charlie Harrop get a fair few shots on goal. He's one who does offer a lot up forward with regards to his ability to get his hands on it and create a lead and his forward craft as well. So he only kicked two goals, but I think he had six or seven shots. So just lacking that finishing polish, but still a good day out for him. Miles Enders and Harvey Johnston sort of capping off a really strong first month of footy for them. And yeah, we can certainly expect to see them pushing into Vic Metro. Billy McGee, Gallenberti was one who impressed. He sees the game really well and has got a good turn of speed. Bego Vizantini, Levi Ashcroft and Will Brown all played well, as you would expect, the Vic Metro representatives. So that was that game. Then Tassie and Eastern, Nathan, from a boys' perspective, another surprise result. We know how strong they are individually, Eastern, from a boys' perspective, almost as much as from a girls' perspective. But it was Tassie who got the win in that one, 11-15-81 to Eastern's 9-8-62. I know from a Tassie perspective that Tom Beaumont played well. Obviously, there was the absence of a couple of players with the AFL Academy being out, Colby McKercher and Jack Callanan, but he was able to stand up as that big-bodied mid and cap a strong first month. We know they've still got a game to go, though, of course, against the NT Academy this week. Jack Dolliver and Heath Ollington were a couple up forward who were really good, a couple of overagers who got a few shots on goal, so it was good to see them go well. But, Nate, from an Eastern perspective, who was it that went well?
Yeah, well, a tougher day for Eastern. Probably the main one to speak about, Riley Wetherill with four goals, which is a very impressive performance from him. Yeah, not the best of days for Eastern. I guess the others that probably worth noting in their best, we've got Josh Davies, Tyson Sruk, Clay Tucker, Cody Anderson we've spoken about, so, and Caleb Wynn, so probably the top ones to speak about, but not their best day for Eastern, probably. Not the, I'm not going to say road trip like we keep mistaking, the plane trip over to Tassie. So not the best of days for Eastern, but we'll move now to another academy team against the Talent League team, which that's what the Metro teams had this week. But Western Jets finally got their first win on the board. They beat the Lions Academy 10-8-68 to 6-13-49. Jonty, a bit about Logan Morris. He had a performance that was worth noting, so tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, four goals too, and we know how good Logan Morris is. I know I've seen him in Pracky games, and yeah, I don't think I've actually been able to watch Western at all this season, or I might have watched a little bit of them on a stream, but his hands are really strong. He's able to get up the field and shows a lot of positive signs, so it's good for him to have that performance to prove that he can do it at this level. Four goals, two he kicked, so able to hit the scoreboard as well and you know, more than not make the most of his opportunities. Massimo Razzo, a small forward type, another one who was among the best, able to have an impact inside 50. And Jake Smith's one who they hope can push to the next level, had a good performance through the midfield as a sort of an in and under contested ball winner. So good to see him going well, and good from a club morale point of view. They've had, you know, we know they're not fed by the strongest local league, but to get their first win on the board's really good, because they have been competitive in patches in the first month of the season, but they've just sort of fallen away in the last quarter. So to be able to finish it off against the Brisbane Academy is really good. Nathan, we move to Sunday now. Bendigo defeated Gippsland by 17 points. It felt like Bendigo were probably the better team throughout, but Gippsland did keep nagging them throughout the day and made a bit of a charge in the last quarter. Ultimately, it was to no avail. But I think Oscar Smart was, from both of our perspectives, very close to player of the day, but certainly the player of this match. What impressed you about him? He kicked three goals, two, and looked dangerous every time he went near it.
Yeah, it was extremely impressive. It was just, you just saw him building as the game went on, and obviously that confidence took over. after a certain point. It's just his burst speed through the stoppages. His kicking was really well. He was kicking really well, something we both noticed. Really strong, like laid those tackles and was just really physical and won his own ball. Like, and in that, he really did win his own ball, got it himself and created opportunities. He was fantastic. Ollie Poole was one we also noticed. Jonty, tell me a bit more about Ollie's game that stood out.
Yeah, well, I think the thing about Ollie is he has been on the verge of that breakout performance for a couple of weeks. We saw him have signs last week when they played the Devils. And prior to that, I know speaking to people within Bendigo, they're really high on what he can produce. So it was a really important first half from him. Maybe wasn't able to sustain it throughout the day, but yeah, certainly important through the midfield. Jove Shanahan, another one that impressed me, was quite clean up forward and had some moments. And I guess you look from a Gippsland perspective, Seb Amoroso, the captain, tough in and under, did really well against the Tide, I guess, when you do consider the fact that they had Poole and Smart in there who played well. And the Rucks, they've got to get a lot of credit as well from Gippy. Unfortunately, the Gippsland midfielders weren't able to translate that necessarily into clearances, but we saw Harvey Howe in his return game start in the Ruck. He's returning from a long-term injury, cartilage damage in his knee, and will look to push his case for the mid-season draft. But he didn't actually spend that much time in there. He then went and played deep forward for the majority of the day. It was Will Dawson and Lockie Smith who were able to really take advantage of their size superiority, I guess, to the Bendigo ruck, Mitch Dodos, or the makeshift ruckman for Bendigo. Was there anyone else, Nathan, who caught your eye? I guess Ryan Marich, the other one that is worth bringing up.
I mean, Marich, yeah, he did hit the scoreboard late in the second half. I mean, the scoreboard probably shows he had a very impactful game, but it probably... I mean, he had a good second half. It wasn't ultra impressive, but, you know, one to keep note of. And then Toby Trevally is probably the only one we missed for Bendigo. Just, you know, probably finished up a good 4 weeks that he played really consistent footy in. So I think we've summed that up good. I mean, it was a good game in terms of just seeing the talent against each other. And we've spoken about this without Harley in the side. I think that's the best thing for Bendigo because I personally don't think people like Oscar Smart, Ollie Poole would have had that type of game if Harley was in. And not because Harley takes the ball off him. It's just purely, you know, he's always going to be the focus point, and that's in every AFL team. You're always going to have a focus point. It was great to see both teams in depth, and we've seen Bendigo a couple of weeks now, but it's the first time I think we've seen Gippy this year. So
I think the other thing that impressed me with Smart is just how well he sort of sees the play before it actually unfolds, which allows him to sort of get to contests and impact as much as possible. And I think the other thing worth noting on from Marich's perspective is, yeah, it probably wasn't his day, but the mentality to at three-quarter time not let what had happened affect him. There would have been moments he would have liked back, but to then be able to impact and kick two goals when the game was still up for grabs and almost sort of see Gippsland back into the game was impressive. So give him some plaudits for that at least. But I guess from that, we move on to a mauling. You predicted a 20-goal win. It was closer to a 30-goal win, Nathan. Called a 30-18-198. They had a shot in the last 30 seconds, which would have got them over the 200 mark had it gone through. Unfortunately, it didn't. They defeated the Northern Territory Thunder 4-1-25. How much you can really take out of a game like this from a form perspective and otherwise is hard to get a gauge on. But
That was unbelievable. Really, like I said to you pre-podcast, how many times would you give a 120-point prediction for that prediction to be so wrong in probably the way you don't expect it? That was unbelievable. We kept turning the stream on during, I think it was the back end of the Bendigo game. Oh, my God, it was ridiculous. Yeah, look, we've sort of said we don't think it's really good for any talent league team to be playing the NT, and no offence, but the talent just doesn't match. I don't, you know, it's different standards of football down here than it probably is up there, and it's probably not going to give the best showing of your colder talents because they're all going to play well, aren't they? So
I suppose from my perspective, I was happy to see Isaac Kakko kick seven goals.
Kick seven, got on the board.
The goal kicking for this season, or kick the most goals in the talent league, and he was able to kick seven, which sort of caught up the fact that he's only probably averaged 1.5 a game. That's still outstanding for a bottom major, mind you. and Amin Naim, another Essendon Academy prospect, kick seven as well. Hugo Garcia, a confidence-boosting performance for him as well to go into the break. I know I'm really high on him. He's sort of strong and hard to tackle and good in the forward half. So he had a good first month, actually, and is one to keep an eye on going forward. So it'll be interesting to see if he can push to that next level, being Vic Metro. But, yeah, there's probably not too much point going on about too much.
Actually, sort of that you brought up Kakko win the gold tie. I thought I'd just quickly bring it up.
Yeah.
A mid name, Logan Morris, 13 goals. They lead the goal kicking tally.
Yeah.
Tom Anastasopoulos with 12, Riley Weatherill with 11, and Miles Ender, Isaac Kakko, Ziggy Toledo on 10. It was actually pretty close, very competitive, but there you go.
Yeah.
But let's quickly move on from that. There really isn't much to say about that game. The good thing is for the NT play Queensland Academies for the rest of the time, so they won't have to deal with a Vic Talent League team. But now we move to the second game at Bendigo. Probably the most one-sided game we saw. Murray 5-8-38. They were defeated by the Falcons 12-10-82. I mean, the main one for me, and I've loved watching him, and we both love watching him, Tom Anastasopoulos, just fantastic. And we saw his goal threat in the first couple of weeks, but seeing it in, I mean, that was the first time I've seen him in person. He runs his opposition to the ground. It was ridiculous watching his running capacity, just in circles, every stoppage on the wing, just everywhere. He would run him to the ground. And that's how he's so dominant inside 50. He creates space for himself. That was something that was extremely impressive. Tell me a bit more actually about Zach McGuinness, another forward for the Falcons. What was impressive about his game for you, Jonty?
I just think his ability to be a presence inside 50 and at least bring the ball to ground. Also took a few clunks. He kicked three goals. So that's what you want your big man doing, is a 196 centimetre prospect and target inside 50. So he was the other one from my perspective. But yeah, we talk about Anastasopoulos. He's from an athletics background. Just keep an eye out for a video from our channel, because we caught up with him after the Geelong and Bushies game. Were there any other key Falcons or Bushies that caught your eye, Nathan?
Yeah, I'd say Oscar Ryan, a good, really good first month. You know, slick through traffic, really composed, one that impressed as well. And then Phoenix Gothard's probably the other one, the Murray. From the Murray perspective, small forward. Had his glimpses and, you know, moved into the midfield later in the game, showed his running ability. Probably not the day he wanted, but I think it was just the team was struggling in general. So it was a bit hard for him to really make an impact. But it's always good to show glimpses even when your team's not performing 100%.
Well, yeah, you say that. And you say, and Murray wouldn't have had many inside 50s throughout the whole day. They had a good third quarter, but by that stage he'd been moved into the midfield. So you look at when he played in the forward half, was actually in the first half, and he kicked an outstanding goal, which showed his acceleration from a pack. I think it was at the top of 50. He just got the ball, accelerated out of traffic, ran 10 metres and finished off from 40, which is what you want your small forwards doing, making the most of their opportunities when they get them, because you know small forwards often can have low possession games. So he's one that Murray have been really high on and was able to show glimpses on Sunday. Hopefully he can turn that into a more consistent body of work going forward and show that he can go to, whether it's Vic Country or VFL level or beyond. We'll quickly breeze through the Northern and Gold Coast match, another Academy match, and Northern got up comfortably in that one, 16-11-107 to 5-6-36. Charlie Naish, 23 disposals and 2 goals. They were missing their coach, Anthony Rocco, who was with the AFL Academy with Will Green and Nate Caddy, obviously. So it was good to see some players step up in their absence. Christian Farinato, he's had a good start. He's a hard worker in the midfield, 28 disposals he got on the day. Roel McKenzie's been talked about internally from the Knights, 19-3. And Jack Chubb, we know he's a really good lead-up forward. He's a overager, 2 goals and 5 marks. So just showing his traits again. And the final match from that triple header at Queen Elizabeth Oval in Bendigo, Nathan, was Dandenong's win over GWV 15-6-96 to GWV 9-8-62. 9 goals, 6 of them kicked by Joel Frazier, who also picked up 26 disposals Sunday.
It was a day. I thought I was the odd one out saying he's kicked 6 by the end of the game, and we had a couple of people around us saying he's kicked 5. So yep. I was like, oh, okay, he's kicked 5. But he did kick 6. it was fantastic to watch it, and he's been really impressive in the first couple of weeks. His ability, he could honestly be put anywhere inside the forward half of the ground and he'll dominate. His running ability on the wing, he got away from his opponent so often that he let, I don't actually think any of those goals were from a set shot, now that I think about it. Yeah, I think they were all from open play. Possibly one, but like that tells you his ability in general to pick up the ball and general play and just work magic with it. And honestly, the funniest moment I think I've seen this year in Tony footy was the last goal he kicked. Like it was funny in the sense the way he did it. It was a, I think it was a high tackle. It was like 35 meters out on a bit of an angle, right? So usually you'd assume just take the kick. Everyone had stopped. He bursts through, picks the ball up, snaps from 35, just like randomly out of nowhere. And the guy, they carry on with it. It sounds stupid, but when you watch it back, it was just quite hilarious to watch the way he did it. It was hilarious, but it was a great finish. Yeah, I think the other thing
worth bringing up about that is, maybe it seems selfish or whatever, but it was one of those ones where it was late in the game. GWV probably still had a 5% chance of winning, really, if they were able to make a charge. And, you know, they probably couldn't afford the 30 seconds off the clock. And he had that much confidence and it just showed. But that's the sort of thing that really impressed. He got 7 clearances as well. And a lot of them would have been from that burst that he showed, just his ability to cleanly pick up, gather, take a couple of steps and kick that ball. So that was a trait that was on show throughout the day. And I suppose it all came to a fore in that clean highlight reel there. I think Lamont Lawal is another one who's got a lot of praise from Dave Loader throughout the first month of the season and even in preseason. And he was really high on what he's able to produce. So we know he's part of the Multicultural Academy and a Western Bulldogs Next Generation Academy prospect, performed well in defence, provides run and gun and rebound. And I guess at the other end...
I just wanted to add quickly, I mean, he did not... I don't remember him losing a one-on-one in that game. He was just so strong physically. Yeah, terrific. He was just, you know, always held his offensive ground and didn't let the ball get over the back, was always on the front foot. He's been terrific to watch. But continue.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I suppose if you look at him at one end of the field as that sort of half back, then you look at Billy Wilson at the other end of the field for Dandenong. And if you didn't have Joel Frazier producing, you know, arguably the best game that we've seen so far in this Talent League season, you would say that Billy Wilson was probably best on ground. He provides run and gun. He's one that Dandenong Stingrays hope can push up to the next level. And he showed why on the weekend. It was a solid first 3 weeks. And then game 4 of that block was a statement. And that was what we saw on the weekend. Just the rebound, the confidence to go and provide overlap and run. So get it at defensive 50 or even inside defensive 50. Kick it, get the handball, receive, and burst forward. We saw him kick a really good goal doing that and then almost repeat it in what was even more impressive fashion. It would have been goal of the year, I think, had he been able to finish it off. Unfortunately, just sailed wide. But, a really impressive performance, and is one who is someone to watch out for. He can also play on the wing and inside mid. We might see a bit of versatility from him going forward. Other Stingrays to impress, Nathan?
Kay Delarue definitely got a lot of the ball, just clean with it, consistent with his running of patterns as well. And it was a catalyst for Dandenong's transition. And they turned it on. So the third quarter, I think, is when they really turned it on a lot. And he was definitely one that was always around the contest and providing some spark and energy to move the ball forward. Ziggy Toledo, Glasman, we've obviously seen a fair bit of him, and he had a really good breakout game last week against Gippsland. I mean, I would say he backed it up, but unfortunately he got moved into the ruck when Dandenong were down a couple of rucks. So we didn't get to see a full game of him in the forward line. Definitely had some moments. I think he kicked 2 in the end. So he definitely...
He kicked three in the end.
So it was definitely a good performance, and he had to back it up the week before. You don't obviously want to have just one game and then drop off. He definitely... Yeah, no, he definitely did back that up. Kobe Shipp, good as always, versatile, and he was very prominent around the halfback area, moving it forward. That's probably Cooper Hines. Tell me a bit more about Cooper. Jonty, he was one I remember you were pretty impressed on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I suppose just to touch on Ziggy Toledo and Kobe Shipp as well. Ziggy Toledo did have to play ruck a little bit, but it was good to see his versatility, like you said, I think off the halfback line a little bit that he played. And I think he's going to have to show that if he's going to go to the next level. He's not necessarily a key forward as he does play as. And Kobe Shipp, yeah, we saw his versatility, you know, usually a halfback, but played forward and played in other areas of the ground. So it's always good to say that. We know players need a secondary position. Cooper Hines is a bottom major for Dandenong and was another one, I suppose, in the ilk of Cade Delarue, who was really clean, would have accumulated a few clearances, kicked a couple of goals as well, and showed that he's capable of playing forward. So, yeah, one to keep an eye out for them. I wouldn't be surprised to see him being talked about to go to Vic Metro next year. But, you know, he's still got, what, 16, 17 months of development before his draft comes. So, yeah, plenty of time for him, but impressive performance nonetheless.
Yeah, well, that wraps up. I mean, it feels like a shorter podcast purely, but there was not as many girls' games as there was boys. So, yeah, it was a big week of football, and we are awaiting lists for trial games. We're waiting. So it's coming. It's coming soon. So this first couple of weeks of the podcast finally leads up to some results, I guess, in a way. So once we get that information, we'll definitely be talking about that and analysing that a bit more. And obviously when when these games are played, we'll obviously discuss these a lot more. But let's finish as we always finish with our tips for round 6 of the girls, round 5 technically of the boys, even with one game being played. So not a lot of football this week. Let's start with that lone boys game, which is Tasmania and Northern Territory.
Yep.
I liked your idea where we are just going to predict how much Tassie are going to win by it, and whoever is closest will get the tip on this one, just to have some fun with this.
Yep.
I am going to say Tasmania by 143 points.
I'll say Tassie by 142. So if it's anything lower, I win.
Oh, that's a fair play. I like that. I like that idea. We now go to the three girls game. So we've got three main games on the Saturday: Northern Knights and the Western Jets at PCO.
Yeah.
Tough one to pick from because, you know, both teams have had their ups and downs. Northern had a really close win against Sandringham. Western, unfortunately, got just lost to the Cannons on the weekend. I think it will be tough, but I think Northern probably just edge with that midfield talent.
Yeah, I really like Northern's midfield talent, like you say. Talia Plunkett, Ava Jordan, Winnie Buckley, that'll get them over the line, I reckon.
And then the second game of the day, Oakley and Calder at, I'm not going to try and pronounce the name, but it's Oakley. Oakley's
Warrawee
Park. Like we said earlier in the podcast, this is first v second, two undefeated teams. This will be a terrific game to see how it unfolds. We've been criticised for not backing Oakley. I'm going to back Oakley this week. First time at their home ground, which they don't usually get to play here very often. But I'm going to back Oakley in this one, in a very close one.
I'm going to say Oakley by 4 goals in this one. Yeah, I think they've been really strong and like what I've seen from them. I reckon Maya Stovey's ready for a breakout performance. She's been solid or better than solid to start, and I reckon she can go to the next level.
And then the final game of the round is Eastern and Sandringham at Kilsyth. I mean, Eastern, what do we say now about Eastern? We expect, I thought Tassie would beat them on the weekend, and Eastern got up by 75. Sandy's still without a win. I don't think a winless start to the season really reflects their actual games in general and, you know, how they've been playing. But they're obviously going to take it up to whoever they come against. But I don't think anyone's going to beat Eastern, frankly. It just looks like, or it feels like that's how it's going to be. So I think Eastern get it done. It's hard to see them not.
Yep. I agree with that. Eastern by 6 goals.
Well, that wraps it up for this episode. We're sort of at the time now where there is not really many games, especially after this week of girls. There is nothing being played for a couple of weeks. It's just a couple of academies, and we're obviously not going to discuss that. But it's like we said, once these trial games happen, got a lot more to talk about. We are going to be talking to some coaches over the next couple of weeks as well about how they've seen a couple of players perform. There's a lot of content to come out, so please follow our socials. We have been really going hard at it. And it probably doesn't seem like there's a lot, but there is about 9 or 10 videos waiting to be released that are coming soon. So please follow us, Craft the Draft on Instagram, COT Draft on Twitter. And watch out for whatever's to come on these socials. There's some great players we've chatted to, had some really good chats, not just about football, about more than just football. So it's it was really good to get that done. But yeah, thank you, Jonty, for joining. We'll catch you all next Wednesday. So until then, thank you for watching or listening, and we'll see you next week.